There goes those kids. God must be doing something in them too. Huh? Amen. Well, if you got a Bible, grab it and grab your pen and your outline and let's see what God is doing. You know, the Lord's been kind of leading us on a little bit of a journey in this whole idea of this major theme of common practices of great Christians. And over the past few weeks, we've been working on settling the issue that it's biblical and it's desirous for you and I as a Christian to want to be great. See, sometimes we question whether that indeed is really spiritual or it's really God's plan for us. Greatness. Now, we obviously know it's not greatness as the world sees greatness, because maybe we're not going to be the wealthiest person or the prettiest person or the smartest person or most gifted person, but we can be the best we can be. We can be the best version of ourselves, and indeed, we can walk into greatness because we serve a great God. And so we've come to conclusion that indeed it's biblical and desirous to be great. Because what's the alternative, remember? The alternative is to be mediocre and to live mediocre Christian lives. Now that's not very good, is it? You definitely, and I definitely do not believe I've been created for that. And yet sometimes I live in it, but I haven't been created for that. God has created us for more than mediocrity. He intends for you and me to live for His glory, where people can see Jesus in us. Where people look at us and say, man, I want what that person's got. Or, man, look what God has done to change their lives. Or look how God is hearing their prayers and moving. I want that. That's what we want. We want to live for His glory. So to be great in God's eyes and to live for His glory, we've got to live for His purposes, don't we? That's what it really means. We've got to relish in His fellowship and enjoy it. And we have to complete the work God has given us to do. That was the example of our Lord Jesus when He lived on this earth. The Scripture says that He completed with right relationships, right attitudes, and with excellence the work God gave Him to do. Was everybody at that point saved? No. Was everybody at that point healed? No. Was all the work of redemption totally finished yet? No. But in His short 33 years, and in His short three-year ministry, He completed the work God gave Him to do. And you and I can do the same thing. So in pursuing the goal of greatness in God's eyes, we've studied some important common practices, and I want to remind you of a few of them real quick. Are you ready? And you can write these down as review. The first thing was that we talked about is great Christians think on great things. Great Christians think on great things. Because you are today where your thoughts have brought you, and you'll be tomorrow where your thoughts take you. Do you remember that great quote by James Allen? You are today where your thoughts have brought you, and you will be tomorrow where your thoughts take you. Thinking great thoughts. Letting Philippians 4:9 really be our guide. That whatever is excellent and pure and worthy of praise, think on these things. And letting those things occupy our lives. That leads us to greatness. Well, the second thing is great Christians read great books weekly. Oh, I'm sorry. I hope that's not an alarming thing to some folks that aren't real readers. But that's the reality and that's the truth. Great Christians read great books weekly because books expose us to new ideas. They expand and sharpen our mind as we grapple with the new ideas. They take us out of our comfort zone that sometimes might limit us, right? And especially when we read the greatest book that was ever written, the Bible. A book that is full of promises and contains so many blessings and promises and blessings that are ours if we meditate on it day and night. See, we don't want to miss those things. So reading great books regularly, especially the Bible, man, it leads to greatness. Well, great Christians also flock to great people, and that was the third thing we looked at. Great Christians flock to great people. We know that Proverbs 27:6 says, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. God has placed people all around us, or at least people and Christians, and some of them are great, and some of them maybe aren't like super great, but they're great at something. And God's placed them in our lives that if we will allow them to influence us and we'll see them as an instrument and tool in God's hands, we'll become great in that area because that's what God intends. And we need to flock to these great people. Hang out with them, listen to them, learn from them, and let them influence us. So, these first three elements of being great in God's eyes, they all point And they're all a part of really pointing to and being a part of this next common practice of being great that we want to look at today. Thinking great thoughts, regularly reading great books, and pursuing great people, and then the other characteristics that we're going to take a look at, these all kind of are critical in cultivating the next thing that we're talking about today. And that's God-given dreams. And making God-given dreams a reality. Great Christians dream God's great dreams. They have dreams. They really do. Great Christians do. So here's my question for you. Does God, your Creator, have dreams for you? Answer that in your mind and then answer it in your heart. Does God, your Creator, have great dreams for you? You bet He does. Think of it. He does have great dreams for you. Does God want you to have dreams for you and for your life? Does God want you to dream? You bet. God wants you to have dreams for yourself and your life, and He wants you and I to dream. I want you to read with me the words of Christ, and these words show us that God has dreams for us. And they show us that God has greater dreams for us than what we're living in right now, and that we should have dreams for ourselves. God wants us to be greater than we are today. He dreams for you to live for His glory. Think of that. So I want you to read with me John chapter 14, and we're going to start in verse 12, and then we're going to look at chapter 15, and we're going to start in verse 4. So read with me God's word found in John 14, 12 through 14. This is what Jesus said. I tell you the truth. And Jesus said this a number of times. And whenever the Lord says I, it makes a statement like that, it means He really wants you to get this. It's important. He's emphasizing it. I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in what? Faith? Or faith in themselves? No, faith in Me. Anyone who has faith in Me will do what I've been doing. No, hold on a second. He will do even greater things than these. Whoever has faith in Me, because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in My name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask Me for anything in My name, and I will do it. I'll do it. That's the words of the Lord Jesus Himself. Read with me in chapter 15, starting in verse 4. Jesus said to His disciples, remain in Me, and I will remain in you. In fact, I put the NASB up there. I'm going to have you read it from there instead, and I'm going to read it with you because I have an NIV. Abide in Me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. So neither can you unless you abide in Me. How many times have you heard that word abide so far? Three times already in a short little few sentences. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in Me, and I in him, like a branch does to a vine, he bears much fruit. For apart from Me, you can do nothing. Without abiding in Me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in Me, he is thrown away as a branch, and he dries up. There's no life in him, no fruit in him. And they gather them and they cast them into the fire and they are burned. Next slide. It's coming. There we go. If you abide, there's that word again, in Me, and My words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. So there's a condition there on that promise, right? You got to abide and My words have to abide in you, then ask whatever you wish. And it will be given to you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit. That means you become even more fruitful than you are today. And you keep growing in fruitfulness. And so prove to be My disciples. Now God in Christ has just told you and me in this passage that He wants you to be greater than you are today. He has a dream for you. And a dream for greatness. He dreams for you to live for His glory. The Lord just told you that. However, what does this passage tell us is the one condition for this promise and this dream of greatness to become a reality? See, I gave it to you over and over again, didn't I? Only that you, his disciple, have to do what? Abide. Abide. Abide in him. That your heart be his. That's what it means to abide in him. That he's first, he has first place in your heart, and your heart is his. That your mind is set on his kingdom first. That your fellowship with him is genuine and close and growing ever closer. You want that fellowship. And that you ask in his name and you ask for his glory. Okay, that's the condition of abide. And that's what it means to abide in him. And if we do that, the promise is we'll be greater and we'll move to greatness. God has a dream for you and me. I want you to think about this one question that Chip Ingram, the author of Good to Great in God's Eye, poses. And he poses this question for you and me. And I want you to put your thinking cap on. See in your mind's eye yourself doing this. What would you do if Jesus came to you in a vision tomorrow morning? He stood at the foot of your bed and he said, I will make available to you all the resources you need, all the courage you need, and all the power you need. I will make that available to you. Now, dream a dream that is worthy of me. Dream a dream that's worthy of me. I'm going to make available to you all the resources you need, all the courage you need, and all the power you need. Now dream a dream that is worthy of me. How would you respond to him? Think about that. How would you respond to him? Would you have an answer for him? This is how I would dream, and this is what my dream would be. Would you have an answer for him? Are you in the practice of filling your heart with God-sized hopes and dreams? And do you have dreams that fill your heart? Is there some God-honoring vision that makes your heart beat faster? You know, maybe God gave it to you. Maybe you and God came up together. But indeed, this God-honoring vision makes your heart beat faster. And you go, man, I want to be a part of that. I want you to think about it. Jesus has come to you and me, and he's made these sweet, great sweeping promises to us in John 14 and John 15. And the truth is this, that probably the most common reason that the promises of God are not fulfilled in godly dreams is that dreamers are afraid to dream them. And dreamers are not asking God to fulfill them through them. We're just kind of leaving them. And something has happened along the way. We've either got cynical in our faith, or we got wounded, or we just got caught up in the world and other things, and we've quit dreaming with the Lord and hearing his dreams and carrying those dreams in our hearts. Think about it. Are you ready to dream this morning? Are you ready to get a new dream this morning? Are you ready to work at finding dreams again in your life this morning? Think about that. And then also think about, hey, some of us have had many dreams in our lives, and we have too many dreams. Any of you feel like you've got too many dreams floating around? Yeah, how do you know if your dream is God's dream? Huh? There have been a lot of dreams. They dreamed to build the Tower of Babel, right? And God tore it down. It wasn't God's dream. See? It was a dream to glorify their own pride in themselves. Well, see, sometimes we need to know if our dreams are God's dreams. But how do you know that? How do you know that? And how does God birth a great dream for his glory in you? How does he do that? And so we want to take a look at how God does that. And we're going to take a look at some principles. And we're only going to get to two of them today. But we want to look at these principles about how God births a dream in you. And how you can know that that dream's from God and not just from yourself. So we're going to take a look at the first principle today. Okay? And I'm going to start with a little confession here. Quite frankly, I've found that as I was growing up in my life, and then in my early years with the Lord, I found this, and you tell me if you found this too. If an opportunity for greatness was presented that was going to really take me out of my comfort zone. Now, see, I was kind of a wild guy. I was into adventure and into pushing limits. But see, those were limits I decided to push, right? And so that's not taking me out of my comfort zone. That's just whipping up my, you know, and enjoying my comfort zone, which might be greater in some areas than another, and we all have that, right? But here's the deal. I found that if an opportunity for greatness, if it took me out of my comfort zone, you've got your comfort zone, I have mine, And if it made me more responsible for others on top of that, or if it did both of them or one or the other, okay, I would seek, I kid you not, or be very tempted to seek to avoid more responsibility and to stay in the background. I would seek to dodge it. You ever been there? Some of you are going, yeah, I've been there too. I would, I kid you not. So I know where you're at if you do that. For years I believed the lie, or was tempted to believe the lie, that my life would be happier, be more at peace if I avoided leadership and avoided being responsible. I just wanted to be the Pied Piper, to do whatever I want and have my great visions and dreams and not have anybody rain on my parade or slow me down or derail me. Do you see? And so I was afraid of thought, if I just avoid leadership, avoid being responsible, then my life's going to be happier and more at peace. Well, I couldn't have been more wrong than that. And further from the truth than that. Because indeed, for me, I was created to be a leader. I never could keep away from being a leader. I always found myself leading. As a firstborn and being gifted away, I just always found myself that, and especially in athletics or wherever I was, I just ended up leading. Oh my gosh, I ended up doing what I didn't want to do, what I was trying to avoid to do, okay? And then I was called to be responsible for other people as an older brother, and then, you know, and then in my family, and then in my work situations, and I was always doing that, or groups of people. And I was always trying to avoid it. But God had a plan. And my life was always better, and more peace was there, and more joy was there when I embraced responsibility and I stepped forward to be the leader God called me to be. Now imagine that. Imagine that. I was instructed early on in my relationship with Christ, and maybe you've heard this, and if you haven't, you need to hear this. With Christ, love is the basis of all of God's commands. Write that somewhere. Love is the basis of all God's commands. If God commands you to do something, change something, or step out of your comfort zone, it's because He loves you and He loves others. And He wants His love to grow, and He wants His love to move forward in you and through you every single time. The basis of God's commands, they're love. Always. He's never trying to ruin your life, never trying to take away your fun, never trying to be the big cosmic killjoy. No, He's trying to love you and keep you in His love every time. God's great dreams always start, though, with something. And this is the kicker, and why you need to know that love is the base of His commands, because God's great dreams always start with this basic thing, a command. That's your first point. He commands you to do something. That's how it is. And He commands you to step out. And so now you can fill in your first point. God's dreams always start that way, with a command to step forward, to step out. Jason talked about that with Peter. You want to be great? You want to come into greater greatness? Get out of the boat. Hey, come. Oh, man. You know, scary thing to step out of a boat on an ocean with big waves. Right? But it starts that way. Jesus has commanded every disciple who's moved from a life of sin to a place of forgiveness in the family of God. He's moved everyone, and He's commanded all of them with the command, follow me. Did you know that was a command? It's not an option. You either choose to obey that command, follow me, or you choose not to. Right? And it doesn't always come off as a command, because He doesn't go on. He doesn't make it like, hey, you follow me right now. You know, He just says, follow me. That is a direct command. And everyone that's moved from a life of sin into the family of God has obeyed that command and stepped out to follow Him. God's great dreams always begin with a command. And usually the first step involved in that command is to step out of your comfort zone. Now, we've talked about that a couple weeks. It seems like there's a theme going on. I've been praying over and over again as I've been going through my daily week, is God, am I stepping out of my comfort zone? And I've been trying to step out of my ways of thinking, anything that has made me comfortable to join Him. And there have been some things where I've needed to join Him. What about you? It always involves that first step, to step out of your comfort zone. And it all began with a simple command for our Old Testament character of Abram that we want to take a look at. Abram, I have a hard time saying that because his name became Abraham. And that's how most of us know him. He was later known as Abraham, but he was Abram when God called him in Genesis 12. I hope you know the story of Abram and Abraham. It's a great story. God told him in Genesis 12, he said, look, I want you to leave your country. I want you to leave your family. I want you to leave your home and go to a place that I will show you. Hold on a second. This place had no name. He didn't even know what direction he was supposed to go. He couldn't figure out how much munchies to plan for, how much to get the car or the camels ready for, how long of a trip. God just said, look it, I'm telling you and I'm commanding you, step out. Leave your country, your family, your home, your business, and go to a place. No upfront info of how far this place would be. No upfront info of what the climate would be and how he would need to pack, whether it was shorts and tank tops or whether it was long pants and parkas, right? He didn't know. He didn't know the nationality of the country he was going to. He didn't know what the culture that he was heading into would be. Just an unknown, unnamed place that God would disclose to him later. Wow. Only after the command to step out of his comfort zone did God give Abram his great dream for Abram's life. And I want you to read with me, and maybe we have it up here, and maybe we don't, but Genesis 12, 2 through 3. Do we have that up there? Yeah, there we go. I want you to read the great dream that God gave him after he told him to step out. This is a great dream. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. There's a great promise of God. I'd love to have that promise, wouldn't you? And some of us have received that promise from God, haven't we? I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. That's better than being a pain in the rear, isn't it? Awesome. That's how God saw him. Isn't that cool? I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. I've got your back, Abram. And all peoples, Abram, on earth will be blessed through you. Woo! What a great blessing. What a great blessing. And if you read the rest of Abram's story and you read the Old Testament, you discover because Abram dreamed God's great dream, God's great dream came true and was fulfilled in and through Abram's life, even to the place that he gained a new name, which means father of many. He didn't have any kids and he was old, but that's a whole other part of the story where he gets that miraculous son because he stepped out and he indeed became the father of faith and the father of a great nation, the people of God. The principle that we get from Abram's story, and there are many principles in his story as there are in most of the Old Testament characters, but this principle I want to pinpoint, and it relates to how God births a great dream for His glory in a believer's life. And the way He births it is that He shows us that we have to commit to obey His command to step out of our comfort zone. That comes first. We've got to trust His command. We got to step forward at His command and respond to Him. Stepping out in response to His call, stepping out in response to His command is the first necessary step. We have to step out when He calls and when He commands. I want you to think about this. Here's my question to you and me. Are you willing to step out of your comfort zone? Is God asking you to step out somewhere? Are you willing? And do you realize if you don't step out, you're disobeying His command? Because God is not like us. He's not going to hound us. He's not going to throw more words. He's going to say, follow me. Now it's your choice. It's your choice. But if we're going to be great and we're going to have God's great dream, we have to step out of our comfort zone. Are you willing to do that? And think about it. Are you willing to step out of your comfort zones in your relationships? Huh? You willing to do that? God's called you and me to trust Him in His command. You know, I tell people all the time, you know what, I was born in sin. You know, people like to say, oh, that's just the way God made me, so that it kind of gives them an out why they can live the sinful life they live. You know, God made me horrible too, right? He made me in a lot of ways that could derail and ruin my life. And the deal about discipleship is that God is reworking me and making me godly and holy. and changing my way of life and changing me miraculously through His power. So whatever I was in sin, God wants to redeem and change that and make me right in Christ, right? And I have to choose to follow Him. And I have to choose to do things right. Where I might have grown up in a family that said, you know what, premarital sex is okay before marriage. The fact of the matter is, in Christ, it's not okay. But I've got to choose to trust that command when all my hormones are going nuts, if I'm a young person, and, you know, there's that pressure and that tension. I can't give myself an out on that. You see, because God has called me to follow His command, to be pure before marriage and not defile the marriage bed. Do you see? So in our relationships, are we willing to follow His command? And think about that. Command to love our wives, command to honor and respect our husband's leadership, command to not exasperate our children. It goes on and on, doesn't it, within the family and in relationships. To put others' needs above our own, there are a lot of commands. Am I willing to step out of my comfort zone in my relationships to really dream God's great dream for my life? Now, am I willing to step out in other places too? What about where you live? Are you willing to step out? One, maybe to live there and quit trying to not live there. Or to live where God wants you to live. Are you willing to step out? See, we've got to be flexible enough with that. And that's what it tells us in this story of Abram and in this passage. What about financially? I've got to be willing to step out. See, then the blessings come. You know, I never found the blessings of tithing that came before I stepped out. You know what? If you don't, you're never going to have enough money to tithe. You're never going to be able to afford to tithe. The question is, though, is, you know, do you always want to stay below God's best? See, tithing opened the door of blessing. Tithing put me in the place to receive God's blessing. That goes well beyond men. God knows how to bless you and take care of you beyond your natural job or the people around you. You don't have to worry about it. And He'll do it if you trust Him with that 10% that belongs to Him anyhow. And it sanctifies the 90 and it makes it go even further. Are we willing to jump out of our comfort zone and follow His command to honor Him so that we can indeed be great and receive His great blessings? What about our daily routine? What about the different core values in our lives? It goes on and on. Are we willing to step out of our comfort zone? Are we willing to be what God created us to be? To dream great dreams, we need to know where our security is. And so you need to ask yourself that. Where is your security this morning? Abraham had to ask himself that. Is it in my family, in my country, in my nationality, in my home, in my business, in my hands? No. Where's your security? The hard truth is if we find our security in the people we already know, in the places we already live, in the positions we've already come and grown comfortable with and in, we may never realize God's great dream for us if we just stay in those things and our security is found in those things. Our security needs to be in Christ, who is eternal, all-powerful, never-ending. That's where our security needs to be. So, the first thing in really birthing God's dream is He commands us to step out. Amen? Amen. Oh, you know that I'm going through all sorts of problems right now in my spirit because I want to go on to that second point. Well, I let God take me out of my comfort zone. Oh, I'm struggling right now. Let's stand and let's close in prayer. And let's trust God with that. That probably is the message we need to hear today to take us into greatness and to dream God's dream. We have more principles because God indeed wants us to go somewhere new in our lives. I don't know where God is calling you to go. I don't know what God wants to do new to you. But I want to encourage you to step out of your comfort zone and step at His command. Listen for His dream. Listen for His word. He's got great dreams for you and me. And let's step out even today and this week and acknowledge some of those dreams. Amen? Let's pray together. Father, we just know that You are the creator of all things. And You are Lord of us, and You are our Creator. And when you created us very good. And you have great plans and great dreams for us, to prosper us and not to harm us, to give us a hope and a future. Lord God, we sometimes can't see the way. And sometimes, God, we balk when you call. But Lord Jesus, let us see the encouragement of Abram, who later became Abraham, and of Peter, and of many others that are in Scripture and around us, God, that we true would allow you to birth a new dream within us of blessing, because we'd step out of our comfort zone. We'd let you stretch our comfort zone. We'd let you reform it so indeed it contains your dream, and your dream that will bring glory to you. And when others see us, they'll point and say, man, I want what that person's got. I want to have that too. I want to experience that blessing and that fruitfulness and that abundant life that they're experiencing. And so we want to bring glory to you. So Jesus, show us today where we need to step out of our comfort zone. Show us today where we need to step out according to your command. And then God, blow us away by the blessing and the dream that comes true because of it. Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name, and we all said together, amen.